it's amazing, you know, because we dads do blow it. We dads aren't always what we should be.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, Scott, I'm sitting out here on my basketball court and on a gorgeous Indiana morning. The air is warming up, but it's still clear and cool. I'm sitting out here on my basketball court talking on my telephone because my internet line has been cut. Not because I didn't pay my bill, but because we were digging a big trench last week, the end of last week. My son Sam, the animator Sam, his girlfriend's dad is doing my water line from my house to my barn. Maybe you saw the pictures. It's a gigantic pit, like 5 or 6 feet deep. You know, we're running the water line, and the sewer line's like next to it at a different level. And they filled it in, and we were so careful. I was watching my cable lines because I knew we were going to cross them at least twice. And so we found them, and everything was working. And then when he was filling it in, somehow the internet quit working. So we are without internet right now, and it is a huge pain. By the way, if you've written me and are like, help me, Todd, help me, I can see it on the telephone, but it's just hard to – for some reason, I cannot respond to emails on telephone. So I'll try. Hopefully we'll be back up. But
you're using a rotary phone, aren't you?
That's right. My mother-in-law's telephone from her laundry room. No, I'm on a real phone, my wife's phone. And we're getting ready to head out to Atlanta. We're having a little discrepancy about whether when we need to be there. So we're either leaving today or tomorrow. I was planning to drive partway tonight and stop in Indianapolis and head on down tomorrow, but I might need to be there sooner than I thought. So we're just, I've already loaded the trailer this morning. It's, and we're getting ready to take off. So as you listen to this on Thursday, hopefully you'll, if you'd pray for me, that would be great. So we're going to talk to Scott, a couple different guys today. Hopefully it'll work out. We're going to talk to Frederick Gray and Axel Liamata. I hope that's how we say his last name. Totally different conversations, but we're going to try to get Frederick on the line right now. Hey, Frederick, it's good to have you.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
Hey, now, I was just telling everybody that the reason I'm having you on is because I've spoken down at your father-daughter retreat, which is amazing, down near Tampa, and we've done it a couple of different years. And you're doing it again this year. I'm not speaking, but you still got a great lineup. And I just wanted to let all the guys know that they can still be a part of your father-daughter retreat. Why don't you just tell us a little bit, maybe just some of the details. Where is it at this year?
It's at Safety Harbor Resort and Spa, which is in Tampa Bay, on September 7th and 8th, which is a Friday and Saturday. It's Friday and Saturday after Labor Day.
It's an amazing location, amazing place. So before you tell us more of the details of it, like what the guys might expect, you've been doing it for a little while. Why a father-daughter retreat?
Well, that's really a good question because the reasons have evolved and changed, or I guess better say expanded. We first started doing it just because I wanted to create something for my daughters, as I had two daughters at the time. I have three now. And I wanted to create something that could be this big memory as a testament of my love to them and also how I want them to really be in touch with God and connect our hearts. But I also wanted other people to be a part of it because I learned a long time ago that you can do things together. You can achieve things and do things together that you can never do by yourself. Kind of like the difference between just reading the Bible and having an amazing relationship with God in prayer alone. But then when you add a community of people in a church, and it just changes the dynamic, and it's just more. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
But the reasons have evolved. I've had people, when people come to me on Friday night at the banquet and tell me that their daughter won't let them hug them anymore, and they won't talk to them, and they just don't have their heart. And then, as you know, there's a lot that happens at that banquet, and then there's that letter the dads read to the daughters where they pour their heart out to them. And I've seen some of that when that dad told me that, I saw that his daughter, you know, she wasn't even with him after the banquet. She was off doing something else by herself. But then the next morning at lining for breakfast, when she's wrapping her arms around her dad's waist and won't let him go, I'm telling you, man, that kind of stuff happens all the time. And even people who tell me we had a great relationship, but it's better now because of how we're communicating or whatever. It's just that motivates you because you realize, I mean, I don't know of any other father-daughter retreat in the country that people can come to where there's such elegance and formal stuff on one day, and then the next day it's casual with games, and it just hits every point of a way you can connect with your daughter's heart. So we keep doing it because we feel like God wants us to, and God's making it available to us, and we just when we're able to, we just want to keep plugging away and making it happen.
Well, you know, the first time you explained it to me, that's what hooked me, because you made it. You told me that, you know, because I blow it up so much as a dad, Todd, and I just want this one event so my daughter will at least have this one thing in her head that she can go, oh yeah, he wasn't a loser. You know,
that's exactly
really,
right.
And I tell other people that, because it's amazing, you know, because we dads do blow it. We dads aren't always what we should be.
Yeah.
You know, but it's amazing how, looking back, a daughter will say, you know, I did this with my dad. And that's a powerful, powerful thing. Of like you said, it really conveys how much that you do love your daughter, even when sometimes you don't act like you love your daughter. And so tell us, like, so what will the guys, what will they experience with their daughters when they get there? And they have to get there, first of all.
Yep, they got to get there. And what they'll experience is when on the way there, before they even get there, they'll experience their daughters being excited in a way that doesn't happen every day. Mm-hmm. And so one guy told me, this guy is about the most gruff, hard guy you can imagine. Imagine a guy who wanted to raise his children, his boys, to be the grittiest, dirtiest, strongest football player ever, and then he had five daughters. And so he said, you know, my girls are getting excited about this, and that makes me more excited. When you start seeing how much your daughter wants to be with you here, it's touching. And then when they're there, dressing up, I mean, when you walk in the banquet, first of all, you have the wedding photographers taking pictures, and you're treated like a celebrity.
Right.
And when you walk in the banquet, as you know from experience, you walk in each daughter individually. She's on your arm. The MC announces you like you're at a wedding reception, that kind of, and everybody applauds for you. I mean, that's the opening moments. And you just don't get that feeling anywhere else. And from there, it's just, from there, it just gets better. But, that's the first thing they can expect. And then there's some talks, and there's some games. We have some amazing people coming in. This year, actually, we've gotten a lot of feedback. I've always had just men speakers, but this year we're having some female speakers. I don't know. Do you know who Girl Defined is?
I don't.
They are amazing. We got a lot of requests to have some females speak directly to the daughters, and these girls are great. You can go to girldefined.com. I first heard about them from my daughters when they heard them in person, and I just am so impressed with their videos and their blog posts, and they just are so passionate about helping girls just be great girls, and they just believe in everything we're doing. So it's just great, and we got Coach Rick back. You know about him with the games.
Coach Rick is amazing. I mean, I've never seen anybody lead in, and these are not just like little party games. These are like big field games where they're whacking tennis balls and playing in parachutes and doing archery. But he has the, even though he's not a father, we've had him on a show a couple times. He's got the heart of a father. And
he does.
It really is about building up your girls and building up you as fathers with your girls. And it's an amazing time.
Yeah. So that's a nutshell, the high points. But it's ultimately the biggest thing is whatever your relationship is with your daughter, it will take it to another level that you just can't go to without the things we're doing. I mean, it's just amazing. And the community too. I think there's something special to being there with guys. I know my daughters always appreciate seeing other girls and thinking, wow, your dad brought you here from New Mexico too. Right. Or your dad brought you here from Georgia or whatever. And it's a special being there with guys who are willing to do what it takes and go the extra mile, really beyond the extra mile, to come down here and just have some special time.
Because it really is going an extra mile. Because I know dads getting all dressed up and doing these things may not thrill your bones, but dads do it for their daughters because it thrills their bones. I mean, I saw all those girls, you know, dressed up. Some of them would have little tiaras on, and you know, one dad wore a kilt and
a tuxedo kilt,
And he told me, he goes, I hate wearing this thing, but my daughter told me I had to. And, you know, and he did it for her. And to see those dads with their daughters as they're getting their pictures. And, you know, the dads, we all kind of look at each other and kind of, you know, smile. And we smile at their, and the daughters smile at each other. But it's a special, special thing as we began our little time together that they remember for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, hey, Frederick, I hope you have a wonderful time. I'm definitely going to have to bring my daughters again. But if they want more information, where can they see some pictures and sign up?
Well, it's a really hard website to think of, so you got to pay close attention. It's fatherdaughterretreat.com.
That was it, fatherdaughterretreat.com.
That's
and
it.
I'm just going to encourage the dads out there, you know. You don't have a lot of time. You got about 2 months to get ready for that. But talk it over with your daughters. Talk it over with your wife and see if this is something that you can make happen, because I think it would be a great investment in your daughters of all ages.
Hey, I want to say something to that. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm not kidding you. Almost every year, it's roughly half the new guys that come. I ask them what made them come. And no lie, they almost all of them say, about half the guys will say, my wife told me I had to come. And because who else a grown woman knows how much her dad impacted her self-esteem, even her view of God the Father, and it affects her relationship and marriage, who she marries, all kinds of things. And no one understands how important that father's relationship is with her daughter more than a grown woman.
Exactly.
You're smart to say that, because if they talk to their wives, they're gonna find a way to come.
Yep. Well, hey, Frederick, thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful time. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, buddy. You take care, Todd. Appreciate
you. Okay. See you, Frederick.
Bye bye.
Well, you know, Scott, I just think after talking to Frederick, I know it's not cheap to get there. It's not cheap to get to Tampa. It's not cheap to do something like that. But again, I think it's worth the investment. I'm not telling you to, you know, go to the bank and bet the farm on it. I'm just saying, if you've got the money, you ought to look into doing it. Okay, Scott, we're going to make a little switch here. We just talked about dads and daughters. Let's talk about boys, because we've got a guy on the phone, a guy online, I guess, that we're going to talk to who spends his days with boys. And these, because, you know, sometimes when we're with our kids, sometimes we get in this situation where we just don't know what to do. And Axel Limata, whatever, he's got a weird last name. Axel works and runs a boys ranch in Missouri called Whetstone Boys Ranch. And we've got Axel on the line. We're going to talk about what he does and how he impacts kids' lives for forever. So, Axel, it's good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Todd.
Well, hey, why don't you give us just a little overview of Whetstone Boys Ranch?
Okay. Well, we're a boys ranch and a therapeutic boarding school. and we're in Mountain View, Missouri, which is in South Central Missouri, about 2 hours from Springfield in the Ozarks. And we have a 6 to 9 month program for 12 to 15 year olds. And they do school here. They do agriculture here. They do therapy here. We have a full-time counselor who's actually with us on the call. If you have some questions for him, I'll probably ask him to answer some of the more complicated questions, because that's what we pay him for.
Right.
And and so they're with us for that full-time, 24/7. We have a very low staff-to-boy ratio. Got one staff for every three boys. And we try to focus on mentoring and building relationships and helping them to establish better patterns of communication and just keeping those dialogues open. We involve the parents, of course, very closely in that process. They're communicating with Matt Foster weekly or with myself about school, and we just try to get them ready to go back home and live life with their family where God wants them to be.
Now, I know there's no typical boy, but you know, what is the boy who, you know, what is he facing? Where do his parents contact you? Because I know every parent says, man, I just would like to ship you off sometimes. We're not talking about all those kids. We're talking about those kids that that might need some extra help. What do they look like?
I'm going to let Matt handle that one.
Okay.
If you need me, I'll be under the bus.
Okay, that's right.
I think those guys are the ones who have tried a couple of different spots. So that's not just having a little bit of difficulty at home. It's difficulty in school, and it's a varied issues or needs that guys might have, whether it's young men struggling with attachment and some traumatic experiences that keep them from being able to function in ways that that parents might want or need in the house. There's also, you know, truth be told, and for all of us as parents, we know that none of us are really good at this. We're just trying.
Right.
And sometimes if a guy needs to live away from home for 6 to 9 months, it's not just about him. That doesn't mean that he hasn't had some difficulties that has made it more difficult to be at home. But more of it's about making sure that the family can function as a whole. And the guy is part of that. And he may be the one that screams out the most for everyone to see, but a lot of it is about those guys who can't function and can't live at home right now, whether it's great distractions or potentially dangerous behavior or struggling that is beyond parents' levels of ability to keep him at home. Is that broad and vague enough for you?
Right. And so, because really, it's not about just, I mean, because again, sometimes I know there's some dads listening who feel like, oh man, that sounds like a great place for my son. It's not just a place to ship them off so you don't have to deal with them anymore, correct?
Correct. It's a very family therapy centered idea that this is about getting the boys back home. And if the boy wants to come back home, we have to create an environment where he can succeed because it wasn't working before. And every parent that comes through those doors, they know that, and they're owning it. And that's not that it's a fault-finding trip. It's saying, hey, we all get that this isn't working and we need help.
Right. So
I liken it to an oil spill, Todd, of just like, you know, I worked at boys' ranches before, where which are great places, and they have the limiting factor of families not getting to be a part of it. And so it was like you know, you pick the sea otter up out of the oil spill in the ocean, and you got all your Dawn soap out and cleaned it up and shined it up and spent a year working with this young man. And then you put him back, took him back home, and he got all oily again because nobody bothered to help clean up the ocean.
Right. And so what you're trying to do is clean up the ocean as well, or help the parents parent their children.
Yes.
So what does a Whetstone Boys Ranch, what does it look like? So when a child shows up, what will his day look like?
So odds are we're going to get interrupted in the middle of this by them coming down to school.
All right.
So they get up every morning, do their morning chores, have breakfast, head downstairs, and we have chapel. 4 days a week, and the 4 days that we do school. And in those 4 days, Axel can talk about school with greater ease than I can, but they do school for 4 days a week. We have chapel right before school. Do school. The morning is about the core curriculum, and the afternoon, as Axel say, if the morning is filling the bucket, the afternoon is lighting fire. Axel does a great job of creating a kind of film studies and
music appreciation,
and that lets us do, don't tell them, it lets us do group therapy.
They don't know. Right.
We had our conversation about family dynamics through the Hunt for Red October and
Perestroika
and
Glasnost.
And so this idea of a Cold War and how that helps with families, and that's what they're experiencing in their own way. I mean, if these are 12 to 15-year-olds having an hour-long conversation about that, that most people would sell them short,
right?
That they couldn't do that.
And then, thinking about the ranch part of Boys Ranch, do you make them work too?
We like to think of it as very cross-curricular, interdisciplinary, therapeutic boarding schools. You know, a really good way to think of it is that everything is a part of the education experience. And so school is never really out. Of course, we do year-round school. And so the agriculture part of the program just depends on the season. So it looks different in the summer than it does in the fall than it does in the winter. So we have a garden course and we have volunteers that help us with that, as well as a full-time agricultural director. His name's Ty Lewis. And we work on fences all the time because you're always having storms, and we have cows and got to keep them protected. We have 286 acres.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big piece of land. And about half of that is pasture, about half of it's forest. We've built a cabin just in the last couple years from down trees from a tornado. We got hit pretty bad by a tornado about 3 years ago, and we were out of business for about 3 months while we rebuilt. But thankfully, Lord guided us through that process, and we survived, and we believe we're stronger as a result. So, you know, sometimes we'll go out there and work on the cabin. I mean, that's every boy's dream, right? To build a bona fide cabin out in the woods. So we actually have that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, what would be the first, you know, for a dad, because I know there are probably, again, some dads listening. I can think of some of them, you know, that I've talked to. And, you know, what would be your first step, maybe? Maybe I'm not talking to the dad who maybe has been down these paths before, but the dad who's like, you know, I've got a son right now who's in the age group that you're talking about, and we feel stuck. You know, should they contact you first? Would it be something that they should contact somebody else? You know, how could you walk them through that?
Yeah, I'm gonna let Matt handle that one. So I'm gonna make the bus backing up sound, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's a lot of different things, Todd. I think about if they're feeling stuck, some of it is just checking in with people that let you know that being a dad is feeling stuck.
Right.
You know, it's not only that, but there is not. I'm gonna say there's not a dad in the world that hasn't felt stuck before.
Right.
You know it, and I know it, and sometimes there's just a difference in understanding of where these young men are in their development, how, you know, God made them to be, of learning autonomy and learning how to be out on their own. And sometimes they're going to push those boundaries, and sometimes they're going to learn how to, you know, your precious little kid isn't that precious anymore. And that's not because he is a holy tyrant or there's something evil or wrong with him, but because he's trying something new.
Right.
And so some of it is getting other wise people around you that can say, hey, Dad, this is normal, or Dad, this is beyond normal. You need some help.
Right.
So whether it is a counselor or some other professional that has some prudence and wisdom in that department, or just a wise other soul that can help with that unstuckness. And if there is a point where we have crossed lines that they know that you need help, then by all means, we're the people that to call and see what help we can get. And that not everybody should be coming to a therapeutic boarding school.
Right.
But if that's where you are and you have tried that and all of those other things and counseling and good mentors and other things haven't helped and it's still difficult to reach your son, then calling us would be the way to go.
Well, you know, and I think there's another group of dads listening, and maybe this is for Axel. There's another group of dads listening who maybe have spent some time as one of those boys, you know, and I know there are dads because there are dads listening whose heart is touched right now by what you're saying and the services you are offering. Is there any way for other dads, you know, maybe who live in the area that they can be involved, whether that's helping in a project or can they be involved in Whetstone Boys Ranch?
Yeah, actually, we have a group coming out this weekend from Texas, the Kaufman Church, and they're coming out. This is their, I think, the third time coming out, and they came out in the months after the tornado and helped us to rebuild a shed. That was the first thing they did, as well as a lot of other fence work and chainsaw work and everything like that. So they came out the next year, and they're coming back for a third time, and they're going to be working on a greenhouse, I think, finishing up a greenhouse, and of course, always ranch work to be done that we can't get done because when you're out working with boys trying to get projects done, your focus is on the relationship and your focus is sometimes on dealing with some pretty difficult stuff that they're going through emotionally, and they're not in the best place to be pounding posts. Sometimes they are, but sometimes you're just not as productive as you'd like to be. So we really are excited to get people on campus and involved with projects and building relationships with the boys and seeing that there are other people who follow Christ from all parts of the country with different personalities and different ways of talking and different ways of kind of experiencing life together. So that's we have another group that comes out every year, pretty much from Southside Church Christ in Lexington, Kentucky, and they've been out 4 or 5 times now since we started 7 years ago.
What about say they can't come to your place? Can they donate? Can they be a part of it financially?
Yes. We're a 501c3 nonprofit, and any donations are tax deductible, of course. They can go to our website, whetstoneboysranch.com. W-H-E-T, as in a whetstone that sharpens the knife. You do a good little bit on one of your talks about the grinder, and you talked about your father-in-law.
Right.
I think it's your father-in-law who has that tool set, and you say the sharpest your tools ever get is when you pull them out of the package, and he sharpens them right when they get out of the package. And we listened to that talk and several of your talks at chapel that Matt referenced, and the boys get a lot out of it. And so, you know, we run with that idea of sharpening and of knowing when you need to kind of fine tune and sharpen a little bit and when you need to pull out the bench grinder. But there are few moments or few and far between that you need that bench grinder. But a lot of times we go right to the bench grinder method, and all that does is produce a lot of sparks.
Exactly.
But online there's a place to donate. Of course, you can always call our office and talk to us at any point and find out how you can get involved or how you can donate or how you can contact us. We're on Facebook as well, so pretty active Facebook account. People want to look us up there to find out what's going on.
Well, that's awesome. Guys, I would love to talk more, but I am just getting ready to drive out of my driveway, head down to Atlanta. And but I just want to encourage the dads that if they feel like, the God's prodding you, you know, and you don't know who else to talk to, could I just encourage you to call the Whetstone Boys Ranch? And maybe they're not going to take your child, but maybe they can point you down the right direction. And if you'd like to be involved with what they're doing, I want to encourage you to check out their website or the Facebook page and be a part of something big. So, hey, guys, Matt and Axel, thanks for joining us. And keep doing what you're doing, and we'll make sure we talk again.
Okay. You dead.
Awesome. Well, hey, Dad, I got to go. Pray for me as I'm tooling down the highway on the way to Atlanta. Have a great weekend. Do the things that matter because you to Dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dads. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, you can email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week. Tell you about my wreck of a week.
Tell me your wreck of a week. Let me hear it while you got. Let's, are you still recording?
Yeah.
So how's your week going?
Well, it's it was kind of a triple whammy sort of week. It did end up good, but my wife went away with some girlfriends for like a little thing they do every once in a while. It's her book club ladies, you know. They go away and work on scrapbooks and stuff. Well, of course she goes away and then all heck breaks loose. I'm here with the kids and my car died in the middle of work the other day.
Your new car?
Yeah, the newer one. And it turned out that it was just the battery. I thought for a little while it might be the starter or something else, but I had it jumped and took it somewhere. And these experts, you know, one of those do-it-yourself places,
right.
they put in a new battery for me, and then it was still doing the same thing, even though they had assured me it was the battery.
Huh.
So they jumped it again. I took it to my real mechanic. And they said, oh, yeah, it's the battery. I'm like, are you sure? And they're like, yep, it's the battery. They put in a new battery. It works. So I take the old battery back to the other place, and I'm like, you guys sold me a dead battery. And he's like, really?
Wow.
So anyway, and in the midst of that, my lovely dog was having problems. And I won't go into the details on that, but let's just say I had to wash the dog while my car was sitting out front running so it wouldn't not turn on again in the midst of trying to get my car fixed. And I'm like trying to get my kids to soccer practice and gymnastics and stuff. And I'm just like, I was losing my mind. And of course my wife's not here for all this. And I'm still afraid the dog's going to need surgery, which I don't remember if I talked about that last week or not. Who knows?
You have a dog that needs surgery?
Well, he ate something, we think, and he hasn't been really digesting stuff well, which is the aforementioned other problem, man, that necessitated the washing of the dog.
This is not like one of your kids.
Well exactly. And that's the
I'm
thing.
I'm not going to make light of it because I know it's a
well, and I tried
complex
to,
situation.
I tried to suggest that, you know, honey, we're kind of broke and we don't have the money for $1,000 surgery for our dog and all that. And she comes back with, if I polled the kids right now, that would they rather have Christmas presents or the dog? They would have the dog. I know it. And so I'm like, fine, whatever. We'll just, you know, mortgage the house again, even though it's there's
first
nothing
of all,
left.
They don't mean that. They mean they want the dog fixed and then they want Christmas presents.
Exactly. But I can't say that or I'll get shot.
You're right.
So that's how my week has been. Yeah. She doesn't listen to this.
Well, we should pray for Scott and his dog. In fact, how about we just close things out? This is, as I have a busy day, and I know that's we kind of laugh about it, but it is a weighty thing. And how about I'm just going to pray right now. Father, we just thank you for the position of being a dad. And I know it's hard, and as we have to lead families and loading up trailers and going to Georgia and even dealing with a dog that has swallowed something. I pray, Father, that this would just, for the dog especially, they wouldn't have to have a surgery. That whatever went in, maybe come out, or it would just digest things. Give Scott wisdom in those things. And I just pray for every dad listening that you would help us to do the things that really, really matter. And we would be able to put ourselves on the back burner knowing you're going to take care of all our needs. We just pray all this in your name. And everybody said, amen.